From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm John Gatto. We continue now our conversation with La Crosse area lawmakers who are commenting on what could take place in the current session of the Wisconsin legislature. Our guests are Republican State Senator Dan Capanke and Democratic State Representative Jennifer Schilling. There's been a dramatic political shift in Wisconsin as Republicans won back control of both legislative houses and the governor's mansion during last November's election, and the state's budget deficit, projected at more than $3 billion, remains a major issue. WXOW-TV reporter Dustin Lukey asked our guests to assess the budget situation, and if tax increases are ruled out, what might be some realistic areas of state government that can be scaled back?
Here's an example. We have, in November in Prairie du Chien, we had a lineup of about 50 semis bringing corn into a terminal. And we had, they have contracts to fill, and it's in November now. They have contracts to fill. They have to get these contracts in a timely manner, or they lose, and it costs them. On that particular day, it was November 11th, we had eight or nine state patrol cars and officers there checking to make sure that we had the trucks were up to date as far as, you know, the amount of rubber on their tires, the brakes, the lights, all of those things. That's all well and good, and we should do that. We want safety on the highways. But to have eight or nine vehicles there on one particular day when these semis have to be kept moved, it's maybe small. To people, you know, as far as the overall cost is concerned, but it's just an example of we have to deliver these services in a more efficient manner than we have in the past. And that's why we're looking at, you know, every aspect of state government. That's why the administration is. We cannot sustain deficits that we've been piling up in the past and as we look forward to the next session.
Jennifer, are these small things adding up going to be enough, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think looking at fraud and abuse and mismanagement in state government, that they will, you know, Governor Walker has appointed a committee to look at that, and I think they're charged with trying to find several hundred million dollars in fraud and abuse in the state budget. Last session, we were able to identify fraud in the child care system and the reimbursement there, and we're able to identify significant savings that our joint audit committee often will go through agencies, will audit them, and will find where there is some waste, where there is some mismanagement, and identify that. I think as we are looking at the budget, certainly, you know, how we can reform paying for our schools is going to be key. I think how we deliver and pay for health care in the state will be huge, that Medicaid is the number two item behind K-12 education in the state budget. And I have been working with my colleagues to have a pilot program for a patient-centered medical home, which would be a way for those that are on Medicaid to really have better coordinated care and realize some cost savings there. And we have a pilot program for at-risk pregnant women down in southeastern Wisconsin, but I know that officials over at Gunderson Lutheran have really been pioneering medical homes there as well, and the concept of coordinated care. And that's something as I go into the budget and I look at that area of the budget of health care that I want to bring to the table, the idea of some cost-saving measures that we're implementing right here in western Wisconsin.
If I could add to that, there's the report that I received, and I haven't been able to substantiate it yet, so I'm not going to name the agency, but there's I heard that one of these departments in Madison is building a building, 80 by 44 building, for $475,000 in a community where we have car dealerships that are no longer in operation. There are buildings standing there. That's just an example. Do we need to spend almost $500,000 on a building when there's buildings all over the community that could be rented or leased for, you know, a very, very, very small portion of that cost? So those are the kind of things that we need to start looking at these agencies, looking at how we're spending our money. Again, this is not our money. It's taxpayers' dollars. And we have to look at every, again, aspect of state government and how we might be able to save.
Now, obviously, we're in a university right now. So schools, how do they factor into the jobs plan? Jennifer, yes, please.
Well, certainly as you look at the university system, they can be the idea and training engine for future employment here in the state of Wisconsin, and really with our, along with our technical college system, to really partner with employers with the skills that are needed. I know one example in manufacturing, advanced manufacturing, is the need for welders, and really partnering with the technical school system to make sure that we have instructors that are available, that those classes are filling up, that there is certainly a demand out in the workplace for that, and that partnership, and that has been a strong program, especially here at Western Technical College, and partnering with employers here in the region for that. But obviously, we need to make sure that as we have entrepreneurs and we have biotech and these new businesses that are launching here, and they're kind of spin-offs from research that is happening here on campuses throughout Wisconsin, that we need to make sure that those students have the skills and they're trained to stay in Wisconsin, to graduate, and there are jobs waiting for them in those areas that they have gone to school for, and really try to beef up the biotech industry here in Wisconsin and some of the research. And we've got fantastic things that are going on here on campuses as far as research. And I know that La Crosse benefited in the last state budget with a technology grant here for some research that's going on here in a spin-off company, so dealing with some pharmaceutical drugs. So there are exciting things happening right here in our backyard that we can point to successes here at UW-La Crosse.
We have a tremendous UW system here, centered in Madison, and of course one of the campuses here, and all of them. Problem is getting students here, having access, and getting them through. And with the growth and access plan that was implemented here, was very helpful. Those are the kind of things we need to do. But really, our education system, starting with K-12 and the higher ed and the tech college system, is huge as far as an economic engine that drives this state. And one of the issues that we've had for a long, long time is what we've called brain drain, and that is they leave the state once they get through our system. We have a great system. The jobs are elsewhere. That's where the rules, regulations, and taxes come in, and bringing these people, this initial package that the governor put out there, bringing businesses to Wisconsin so that we can keep the brightest and the best right here in this state.
Lastly for me, with Representative Hipsch moving into Governor Walker's cabinet, special election coming up, and it may not be, I mean, if it goes back to Democrat, or if it goes to Democrat, it might be just a small swing, but if it stays Republican, obviously not much of a change. What would the impact of this special election be?
Well, there's an open seat, and that doesn't happen very often. So when there is an open seat, there's a lot of interest. So we have a lot of good candidates that are already lining up. And we may see more. I would anticipate more that would be announcing. So there will be a primary on both sides. There will be good candidates on both sides. And obviously for us, it's been a Republican seat for a long, long time, and we'll work very hard to retain that.
Well, first I would like to congratulate Representative Hipsch that he is a very skilled legislator and a veteran of the State Assembly, and I think he will be a very valuable member of Governor Walker's administration. That being said, I sure would like to see that back in Democratic hands, his seat. It will be a very spirited, I think, campaign. It will be a very short campaign, kind of one of 100 days or so, which is with the special election. So we will have good, strong, articulate candidates that will line up on both sides. And it'll be about, you know, turning out the vote and getting people out to vote, because they won't be used to kind of a custom voting in May for a state representative. But certainly, I think from a Democratic perspective, that we want to gain some momentum back, that it was a hard November 2nd. And if we want to regain the majority in the future, we need to start by winning some here at home. And so it could be kind of a momentum builder for us, that we need a little shot in the arm as Democrats, that we can be successful with our message and electing a strong person to represent the 94th Assembly District in the Capitol.
This is Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about, among other things, the latest session of the Wisconsin Legislature and related matters with two area representatives, Republican State Senator Danka Pankey and Democratic State Representative Jennifer Schilling. They both represent the La Crosse area. Our next question comes from Brad Williams with Wisdom News.
We do have a power shift that we've just gone through in Wisconsin with the Democratic governor and the Democratic legislature now in Republican hands, at least for the next 2 years as far as the legislature goes. Is this going to mean a a temporary end at least to, let's say, the big ideas of government that you might associate with Democrats, and I think specifically of Governor Doyle and the Covenant program, signing high school students and assuring them of spots in college, which I think probably people associate more with Democrats than Republicans. Are we going to see less of that kind of big idea coming from whether it's the governor's office or the legislature now that we have the shift in power? And Dan, maybe if you want to start.
Well, I'm not so sure. I don't know if that was necessarily a Democratic initiative at all, but I think all of us want there's nobody that doesn't want our students to graduate from high school and then go on to some training, whether it be in tech school or university system setting. So I don't know. My question with that initiative was, if we have too many and we don't have the spots, how we get, you know, what are we going to do then if we don't have the access? So that was my issue there. But again, I think for the first 6-8 months of this session, you're gonna see a concentration, I would hope, as we talked earlier in this program, and that is jobs, the economy, and addressing our budget. I know that the budget process is certainly going to dominate, and you've been on Joint Finance. You'll be on Joint Finance again, right? It's going to be a very, very busy time between now and June 30th, so the budget and growing jobs are going to dominate.
Well, I think, you know, Governor Walker has indicated that he really wants an opportunity to reform state government, right-size government, I think, as he has put it. And certainly when we have a deficit, there are opportunities to re-examine, do things differently. But I don't want these reforms to be at the expense of our quality air and water in our environment here in the state of Wisconsin. I don't want it to be at the expense of access to health care for low-income families and children. I don't want it to be at the expense of raising tuition so that it's not affordable for Wisconsin's, you know, sons and daughters to go to college. So we'll just have to see what the ideas of reform are. And change can be uncertain. It can be, frankly, you can be cautious about change. But, you know, I want to be able to protect quality and access to health care. I want to protect our schools from deep, deep draconian cuts, that we have an excellent education system here in our state, and making sure that we don't jeopardize public safety in our communities. And, you know, I want to give the governor the benefit of the doubt as we go in, we sit down, we look at the budget here, and I want to be able to work with his administration. I want to be able to work with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. And I think I have a reputation that I have been able to do that in the past and just bring some common sense to the policymaking table.
With Mike Hibbs going to the cabinet, it sort of breaks up the three musketeers we've had here with the senator and the two representatives working well together and being able to have a partnership on many programs, and presumably that will happen with whoever is elected to succeed Mike Hibbs. But that is seen as somewhat rare in Wisconsin, I think, and starting with Jennifer and then going to Dan again. What could other areas of the state learn from the way that the three legislators in this area have been able to work together on common programs?
Well, I always like to describe myself as the rose amongst the thorns with my colleagues. we have worked well together, that we kind of check our D's and R's at the door when we are back home in the district, that we work together on issues that benefit the region, if it's in health care, if it's in education, if it's in county government, that the three of us were able to work on the nursing home collaboration bill to allow for other counties to participate at the Lakeview nursing home there. So I think that there is just an understanding that we have, that we work together, that people expect it back home, that we don't go around and stick sharp sticks in each other's eyes purposely, that we realize that we have to work together. It benefits the region. It benefits all of us to be able to do that. And I think the voters really appreciate that we have some collegiality, that we have some self-deprecating humor with us, and that we are able to sit down at the table and talk about things that are important to the constituents that we represent and take those thoughts to Madison. The growth, quality, and access is an excellent opportunity of that, because that was something that the university came up with, UWL developed, and it wasn't real popular in I know, the Republican caucus, and that Mike really went to bat for that. I know that colleagues in my caucus had concerns. When you give the university some additional flexibility, that's concerning to some that want to continue to have tight oversight over the university system. And the three of us were able to testify down with at the Board of Regents committee, and that had been kind of a first that we had, you know, a sitting speaker when Speaker Hipsch attended that. And I know that that Dan had sent, you know, his support. So I think the three of us have been successful in a lot of areas, but people understand that we have different political philosophies, but we can be reasonable and we can work together on things that are important to those people back home.
Well, we have a tradition here in Western Wisconsin. It goes back in the Senate to, you know, Brian Rood and Mark Meyer, and in Assembly with Mike Hipsch and with Jennifer Schilling. And we're all from the same community. And as Jen mentioned, I mean, we people in this community expect us to work together for the good of the state and for the good of the community. So we do that, and we do have differences. You heard some here this morning, but we can be respectful in our differences, and we can work together, as has been mentioned, that in many different areas. Representative Schilling and I worked with the dental group for a long, long time, and hopefully that initiative is not over yet, but we'll continue to take up that cause. And we just have many, many examples, and it's the right thing to do. When we can to work together for the betterment of this state and this community.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio, and I have a question. Dan, are you intending to revisit the idea of individual budgets?
Well, I mentioned that to
talk a little bit before.
Yeah, I brought up in the last session. I brought up the Sunshine Budget Act, which takes each budget individually and passes it, and it's somewhat patterned after what the state of Minnesota does. And so I just think it's easier for the people and the residents of the state, and maybe for us in the legislature, to take a look at a budget, whether it be the Department of Transportation or the DNR, at a separate issue and go through it. And I also am an advocate for zero-based budgeting. I know we had some legislation previously where every third budget, each department would have to go through that, and I don't think that was adhered to. So, again, I think the times that we're in right now calls for different measures, in some cases drastic measures, and we need to take a look at that. And I did talk to the majority leader yesterday about my proposal of the Sunshine Budget Act, which would separate zero-based, like, for instance, transportation is supposed to be a segregated fund, and as we all know, it isn't. So I think that it's time that we take the measures necessary to make sure that the transportation fund is, in fact, a segregated fund. And the other area is if we had individual, I know with the school districts, if we don't get our budget done until June 30th or beyond, it makes it very problematic for school districts as far as personnel is concerned for the next coming year. And so I think that would help if we could address K-12 funding and get that done, let's say, April or May. Maybe that's unrealistic, but I think it's a goal that we should at least try to achieve.
Jen, what are your thoughts on the idea?
Well, as far as on the budgeting, we just have some concerns that there could be some budget agencies or some agencies' budgets that are really held up for too long. And I know we don't probably have the perfect budget system here, but it's worked better than probably some other areas where they have seen going on with continuing budgets and things like that. And this last budget, we were able to pass through a budget on time for the first time in about 30 years. And I don't, you know, I am hopeful that this budget, that we can do that again this year, that certainly with the same party, one party controlling the Senate, the Assembly, and the governor, that they are going to be working out a lot of those differences and hammering them out when the budget is introduced. And then finance will kind of clean up some issues. We'll hold some hearings around the state and find some areas that maybe are really troubling that communities and, you know, voters and constituents have identified as concerning, and we can work through those through our individual houses. But I'm hopeful that we can have a budget delivered on time, you know, again this year for July 1st. And just on some other local things that I'm going to be working on, a patient medical home, as I had mentioned earlier, that pilot program in southeastern Wisconsin. I'd like to see something over here in western Wisconsin. I'm also going to be, we're going to continue to work on the dental access issue. And I know that there has been a work group put together to kind of map out a pathway for some realistic and doable dental reforms here in the state for some oral health, and I want to continue to be part of that. And our Veterans Court here in La Crosse, I was able to help them on a piece of legislation, and that all counties in the surrounding area don't have a Veterans Court, and we're trying to have some language that will allow a neighboring county that doesn't have a Veterans Court, say Monroe County, if they've got somebody in their court system, that they could be referred to La Crosse County and work with a veteran mentor here in La Crosse. So some of the best legislation, I think, is kind of born of our constituents back here that come to us with ideas, and we're able to go forward to, you know, make some real differences in people's lives. So we're going to continue to listen to our constituents and get those good ideas on legislation and get them introduced.
The census says 25% of the population impoverished in the city of La Crosse, 20% in the county. You mentioned the dental bill. Are there other bills out there that will help address this and help these people out?
Well, certainly if we can get some of these folks back to work and get them at a job that is a family sustaining wage, that is important, rather than at low service jobs and low income jobs there, that would certainly help. But we've seen, as I go door to door in the 95th Assembly District, and you see great swings as far as income. When you are in some neighborhoods down, you know, in the inner city of La Crosse, pretty transient, a lot of rental homes, you go closer to the bluff, you go over to Shelby, and you see a very different makeup of neighborhood and landscaping and homes. And so we do have great income disparity, and I think that number demonstrates that. And a lot of people are probably not aware of, you know, the high number of free and reduced lunches that are in our schools that kids are receiving. And so those statistics really hit home about the issues of poverty here in La Crosse, the access to affordable housing, to health care, to good, strong paying jobs. Those are all issues that we need to work on, and we're going to continue to do that through this legislative session.
Dan, your thoughts?
Yeah, the number one thing I say, the best therapy for all of us is to be able to get up in the morning and then go to work. And so growing jobs is number one. The percentages that you mentioned, Steve, are certainly unacceptable. And there are many avenues that we can look at to address it, and we are. But we continually must move forward as far as bringing people to this state that want to be entrepreneurs, that want to grow jobs here. And again, you know, with the initial start here in this first week of the session and the package that was rolled out by the governor, that's a start, but there's much to do.
Wisconsin lawmakers, Republican State Senator Dan Capanke and Democratic State Representative Jennifer Schilling, both of La Crosse, talking about issues related to the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature. They joined us in our Wisconsin Public Radio studios in La Crosse. Our media panel included Dustin Lukey of WXOW TV 19, Brad Williams of WIZM Radio, Maureen McCollum of Wisconsin Public Radio, and our moderator, WPR's Steve Rison. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Our production team includes Steve Rison, Maureen McCollum, and Mary Meehan Strube. Our senior news editor and Newsmakers producer is John Davis. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, we invite you to visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future programs, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse.